something really big is starting to happen.
Meet Ethan Zuckerman, a blogger and computer programmer who spends a lot of time in Africa. He was also my co-conspirator in organizing a day-long international bloggers workshop that seems to have started something.
A lot of the people in this room are actively engaged in the process of trying to figure out how to change the world through the work that we're doing online. And I'm hoping that by talking about this and talking about building new tools, building some institutions, building a sense that we're working on this jointly, we may actually be able to turn this into something of a movement.
We want to discuss how we can extend this conversation that's starting in pockets of cyberspace through blogs.
That's me talking. I defected from my old job as a foreign correspondent with CNN in early 2004 to join this international blogging conspiracy. Actually, it's not a conspiracy. Like Ethan said, it's turning into an open movement, a movement of people who believe in free speech in cyberspace. People who believe that the world would be improved if we make it easier for ordinary citizens around the world to talk to each other across geographical and linguistic divides.
My name is Hossein Darakhshan, and my blog's name is Editor Myself.
Hossein Darakhshan, known to bloggers as Hoder, is one of the major stars of the Global Voices movement. Over the past few years, he's worked to build a community of more than 300,000 Iranian blogs, with about 75,000 being written in Persian from inside Iran.
I really hope that we could use this blogging thing to promote peace and democracy in Iran. I mean, the internet in general has the potential to bridge between different divided fractions of Iranian society, and at the same time works as a sort of a window to the outside world and for the outside world to into the Iranian society, that maybe we could prevent this way a military attack that it's being talked about.
But can bloggers really help prevent war? Many people have heard of Salam Pax, the Iraqi who blogged under a pseudonym during the last days of Saddam Hussein's regime and gave a first-hand citizen's perspective on the bombing of Baghdad.
I have always thought that if there were hundreds of more Salam Paxes in Iraq, Bush and Blair had a very, very harder time convincing their own population, even those that were convinced, to convince them that we have to attack these people. They probably need something else than being attacked as a way of being liberated.
Now, after liberation, Iraqi people are trying to build a free democratic Iraq, which will be example for the others who are still suffering under dictatorship regimes.
We heard a very different perspective on regime change from Mohammed and Omar, two Iraqi bloggers who support the presence of U.S. troops in Iraq and who run a popular blog called Iraq the Model. They came to the conference from Washington, where they had a private meeting with President Bush. They think ordinary Iraqis are more supportive of the U.S. presence in Iraq than both the Western and Arabic media would have us believe.
Yeah, I think that the media right now, mainly the Arabic media, is doing a harmful effect, a damaging effect to the Iraqi society. It's creating distrust between different Iraqi groups, creating distrust between Iraqis and the liberating forces in Iraq.
Omar and Mohammed hope that if more ordinary Iraqis get a chance to express themselves through blogs, they'll tell a different story. Until now, only about 100 Iraqis have been blogging, and only in English, because there's been no Arabic-language blogging software. But that's about to change.
So this is a great project for us, because ultimately when we've got a whole group of Iraqi bloggers, we can aggregate these into a community site.
A new Arabic blogging tool is being demonstrated by the company that made it. The nonprofit organization raising money to pay for the project is called Spirit of America.
The posts are still in their native language.
Omar believes this blogging tool will be a powerful new way for ordinary Iraqis to communicate and express their views.
We're trying to, through this tool, to allow normal people, normal Iraqis, to find their way to each other and come out with solutions for the problems that they have that they are suffering from.
Spirit of America's Jim Hake spoke a bit more about the blogging tool and its purpose as envisioned by its sponsors.
In this case, they'll be blogging ostensibly largely about elections and democracy in Iraq, mostly through groups that Friends of Democracy and Omar Mohammed and others are working with.
And how do they define a friend of democracy?
The screen is anyone who says they are a friend of democracy has a blog. Our criterion is that if people are using this to actively incite violence, then their blogs will be shut down. And if Friends of Democracy became a terrorist organization somehow, then we would cease to provide them with this. It's a pretty low threshold for people to be able to get into this.
Not everybody in the room agreed with the approach of loading communication tools with a clear political agenda. But the hope is that more open source tools in all languages can be available to everybody who wants to use them. Meanwhile, getting heard while staying out of trouble is a big challenge for many bloggers in authoritarian countries where police monitor and filter internet content, including blogs, and arrest people if they get too overtly political online.
I think all the censorship are anti the spirit of blogging.
Shanghai-based venture capitalist Isaac Mao is one of China's most prominent bloggers. He runs a Chinese language blogging service. To stay out of trouble, the service is required by police to censor its users, and the users censor themselves too.
So we cannot do free speech, we cannot free access to other content, and I think it's a syndrome in China. However, we can also find some technical ways to solve it. For example, we can try to collaborate with the Open Internet Initiative programs to develop some innovative tools to help people to access internet content via their peers, via their trust peers. Also, we should try to persuade some local officials to release some censorship step by step. It's difficult. You know, some blogging hosting services, they are trying to persuade the local official that the blogging is a tool to help you to solve some problems.
Then there's another challenge to creating a better global conversation. Bloggers in China and the United States, for instance, don't talk much to each other, and the flow of information and ideas goes mainly in one direction.
People only knows the things happen in English blogosphere, English world, for example, the U.S. election. However, people don't know how the real things happen in China. They don't know the real culture background of this country, and they cannot do real conversation with the people in this country. I don't think it's an equal conversation. Yeah.
So how do you make it more equal?
We have an organization now to advocate blogging culture and to developing some new generation of tools to help people to blog first, then express themselves freely in this country. However, we also do another kind of things. We are trying to gather some overseas Chinese to help Chinese blogosphere to be translated into English word.
The need for better translation tools is a major problem the Global Voices movement hopes to tackle. Not only do we need better machine translation between English and difficult languages like Chinese, we also hope to build networks of volunteer translators to help bridge the language gap. There's actually a model for this in Wikipedia, the online peer-produced encyclopedia, whose global network of volunteers are constantly translating entries into a wide range of languages. And then there's the digital divide and Africa. With all its urgent problems like AIDS and war, let alone low levels of internet access, why should we care about helping Africans blog? Kenyan blogger Ori Okolo explains.
If you think about how can blogs affect perhaps that one individual who's blogging or the few people who do manage to read, there is an impact there. And I'm seeing this, at least with the Kenyan blogosphere, is giving people insight into the diversity of Kenyans, but you notice even within that diversity there's a sense of Kenyan-ness. I don't know how to describe it. And if you look at countries, many countries that are, you know, have ethnic divide or ethnic conflict or gender-based misunderstanding. It gives a sense when I read other Kenyan bloggers, I'm not thinking, are they Kikuyu? Are they from this tribe? You know, they're Kenyan. And so maybe building a sort of a sense of connectedness with people, which I think is important. I don't think it will change politics per se or, you know, determine an election, but I think it can create communities in ways that have not been able to take place before.
So what can bloggers outside of Africa do to help bloggers inside Africa?
Tools is definitely one thing. For example, experimenting more with using mobile phones, text messages.
Many people from non-Western countries point out that in the third world, more people will be able to blog if the PC-based software tools could interface more easily with cheaper, more accessible devices like mobile phones and perhaps even other forms of participatory media like talk radio. There's a lot of work to do. Malaysian blogger Jeff Uy says he's going home re-energized with new ideas about how to expand the online conversation further in his own country.
We'd like to experiment how to push the envelope further using blogs as a new media for, you know, expressing your thoughts.
In Malaysia, the media is heavily controlled by the government, but so far there's been a lot more leeway for Malaysians to exchange information and express their views in cyberspace.
We are going to break down a lot of barriers that have cultural barriers, political barriers that have separated people from so many parts of the world. I think we are starting to get to know each other better. We are looking at connecting all the dots, small dots around the world together.
And to connect the Malaysian blogosphere with the larger global conversation.
I think out of the exchange of ideas and so on, I think we can make the world a better place.
From the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School in Cambridge, Massachusetts, I'm Rebecca McKinnon.